Hey everyone, welcome to the Period Party. I'm Nicole.
Hi everybody, I'm Nat. Nicole, what's been happening?
Oh my gosh, so much. I celebrated my boyfriend's birthday yesterday. It was pretty funny. We went whale watching. I had grand ideas of what this was going to look like, and the boat was super small and the waves were really big.
Oh, that is not fun. Yeah. Being sick is one of the worst, because you can't escape it. It's not like you can go, oh, I'm just going to lie down and feel better.
No, I was fully ready to jump off of that boat, by the way. Go swim with the dolphins. It was so, so bad. I thought I was going to die. I have never been seasick. And there were probably about 10 other people on the boat who were sick too. It was ridiculous. Anyway.
That's not ideal. Anyway, was Hayden okay? How was Hayden?
Oh, he was totally fine, which was really annoying. I know.
He's allowed to be fun. But anyway, let's jump in. Who have we got today?
Yes, absolutely. So on this episode, we're talking to Robin Srigley, the hormone diva, about crucial strategies for heavy, painful, and irregular periods. She's a holistic nutritionist and women's health and nutrition coach. And her own journey with polycystic ovarian syndrome is actually what jump-started her passion for helping women break free of hormonal imbalance. Robin uses diet, movement, botanicals, and a self-love lifestyle to transform the lives of women with PCOS, endometriosis, PMS, painful periods, and much more. Welcome to the show, Robin.
Thanks so much for having me.
Awesome.
Robin, you're a woman after our own heart.
I know.
Looked at all of the things, and when we looked at all the good things that you could offer to our audience, we thought that it would be really great to speak a little bit more about periods, and particularly heavy periods, irregular periods, spotting, that sort of stuff, because I think a lot of women might experience these things and they probably freak out as to why that might be happening. So can we talk about some of the reasons as to why we might see these things happen?
Absolutely. So there's a few main ones that I see a lot in my practice. And if you have any of the conditions you were just listening, Nicole, so like PCOS, endometriosis, fibroid cysts, all of these things can contribute to heavy bleeding. And these are all linked to estrogen dominance. So that's kind of the main culprit there. Partly because estrogen's job is to begin thickening the lining of your uterus in case of that fertilized egg. The egg needs to have a really cushy and cozy home, and estrogen helps to create this atmosphere. And so if you're estrogen dominant, or maybe you have irregular cycles, the lining of your uterus is just going to build and build. And so when it finally sheds and you bleed, then you may have some super heavy, maybe really dark or really clotted menstrual flow. So estrogen dominance is definitely a main one. Some other ones that I see a lot too are nutrient deficiency. So things like low iron, low vitamin A and vitamin C are all going to contribute to these heavy menstrual cycles. I've had ladies come in with iron that's almost zero, and they have like really heavy bleeding and super fatigue and all of that going on. And one other one that I wanted to mention that we don't maybe connect right away with heavy bleeding is hypothyroidism. So you ladies know that, you know, thyroid conditions are really common when you have other hormonal imbalances going on, and having an underactive thyroid can actually contribute to heavy menstrual flow, irregular periods, and also pain, because your thyroid gland, if it's not working properly, is going to reduce the clearance of estrogens from your body. So it's going to contribute to that estrogen dominance I just spoke about.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's very much my background is Chinese medicine, and having a weak spleen stomach, which is like your digestive system or your gut or whatever you want to call it, is a key reason or key diagnostic tool for us in terms of heavy bleeding, which kind of doesn't make sense really, because you're like, if you're deficient, shouldn't you just bleed less? But it's actually the opposite. You know, when we're deficient in these things, you're speaking about whether it's iron or vitamin A, or your gut is weak and it's not working properly, or whatever that might be, it seems interesting. But I don't know whether you want to speak further to that, but the saying in Chinese medicine is that when the gut is deficient, it has issues in, or when the spleen is deficient, the body has trouble holding the blood in the vessels. That's the Chinese medicine explanation, which we know doesn't necessarily always correlate. But I just think it's really interesting that we've observed over many years, thousands of years, in fact, that when the body is operating from that place of deficiency, we see all sorts of wild and wonderful things happen. But also equally, when the body's operating from that place of excess, so in the state of estrogen dominance, that is again why we can see these things. Do you think also that maybe the flip side of that is, so if we're estrogen dominant, then we're often progesterone deficient, and that can contribute too?
I think that's totally true. And when we talk about some of the other things later, I think we're going to talk more about that low progesterone, because, you know, you can be estrogen dominant, but still have low estrogen, but then your progesterone's even lower, or you can have high estrogen and low progesterone, but that low progesterone is kind of the common underlying piece here in the estrogen dominance. And if you're stressed, you're going to be even lower in progesterone, because it's going to be all stolen for cortisol and things like that.
Yeah, that's a big one. So tell us a little bit more about heavy bleeding. I mean, what is the definition of that? I've gotten that question so many times from women. What does heavy bleeding actually look like? And, you know, how many periods should you have before you actually seek help for the issue?
Yeah, so to define the heavy bleeding, generally that's like a flow over your whole period of about 80 milliliters or more, and that works out to maybe like 16 soaked sanitary pads or tampons or whatever you're using. This is kind of what's considered heavy. And sometimes it can be a lot more than that. I had a client recently who came to me because she would bleed heavily for 60 days straight. And then she would have maybe like a week off, and then she would start with like another 2 months of bleeding. So it can be that extreme, but even as much as 80 milliliters is considered heavy. And as far as like when you should see your doctor, how long you should wait, I really don't feel like there's a tried and true answer to this question. So like, if you don't normally have heavy periods and then you suddenly do, then definitely go check out, see what your doctor has to say, because that's a sign that your period's trying to tell you something, really. And if you didn't realize that your period was heavy, so maybe you're listening to this and you're like, wow, that sounds exactly like me or worse, and you didn't realize that was abnormal, then you definitely should go and see your doctor as well. And, you know, they might not give you the treatments you want. You may not want to take that birth control prescription, but they can at least do like some blood tests or some scans, like ultrasounds, things like that, just to see what's going on and hopefully help you kind of determine an answer as to why this is happening.
Yeah, I think that's important. I think it's important. Sorry, I was going to say to mention that, you know, I guess we're looking at the reasons that we might experience a heavy bleeding, and it's good to touch on that. You know, you might also be bleeding heavily because you have cysts or polyps or cervical changes, and it's good to rule those out. And if they aren't a factor, then everything that we've sort of have talked about, that they can be the reason as to why that might be happening. Yeah,
for sure. So I wanted to know a little bit more about that, actually, the Western treatments, because that's what people usually say. I went to my doctor and they keep trying to push the birth control pill on me, but I intuitively don't believe that that's the right treatment. So what are the treatments aside from the birth control pill that doctors may be able to offer?
Yeah, that's a great question. And actually, I recently polled the ladies in my Facebook community about this just to see what they were being offered. And I wasn't surprised by the answer. So obviously, birth control, whether it's the pill or the IUD, the shot, the patch, whatever, this is the most common. Another treatment can be the replacement of hormones. So they're not using the estrogen so much anymore, which is good, at least where I am. But they'll usually do progesterone if you've got heavy bleeding. So in the form of a pill or suppository to kind of even out that estrogen imbalance and resulting low progesterone that contributes to heavy flow and also the pain. I found that this is often given to women with endometriosis as well to help reduce the growth of their endometrial tissue. So those are probably the major two, but we talked about hypothyroidism before, and so if that is something that's come up for you, you may be given thyroid medications like Synthroid, for example, to help with these issues. The problems, though, with all of these approaches is that they're really a band-aid. So they're not looking to figure out, you know, how can we fix this from the root cause, but rather they're kind of interfering with body processes to stop the heavy bleeding. So, you know, they'll interfere, they'll kind of put a plug in it until you discontinue the treatment, and then the stuff tends to come back and then some. Plus, you know, these medications, they come with their own set of side effects and risks, like blood clots, infertility, increased risk for certain cancers and things like that.
Hmm. Yeah, that's the common problem, isn't it? The Band-Aid effect of Western medicine.
Yeah, definitely. It's really unfortunate. I think also, can backtrack a couple of questions. I'm just thinking. I know you said heavy bleeding is considered 16 or so soaked tampons or sanitary pads in a cycle. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of women, I mean, we often don't understand our bodies. And when we're looking at heavy bleeding as such, you know, some women will come in to me and say, oh, I have had really heavy periods. And that's when I'll always ask that same question. Well, how many pads or tampons? How often would you need to change pad or tampon? Because one person's heavy and another person's heavy are potentially different as well. So, you know, I guess it's always looking at the individual too and going, all right, well, if you haven't ever had heavy periods before, and now all of a sudden your heavy might be, I don't know, having to change it every 3 hours, let's say. Mm-hmm. And someone else's heavy might be that they're needing to, it's hourly. Like, it's a very different thing, isn't it?
Definitely, definitely. And it's kind of paying attention to your body and noticing these changes. And the more that, you know, you listen to podcasts like this and kind of learn what a healthy period is supposed to look like, you know, within the ranges of what's considered normal, and you can see whether you are or not, and then do some investigating.
So then what can we just quickly talk about what a healthy period should look like then?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So with flow, of course, you're going to want less than that 80 milliliter mark or the 16 kind of soaked products. And you want it to be, your flow is important, like the color and the quality as well. So it should be like a nice, bright, deep red color. And if you're noticing that it's kind of more pinkish, or it's really dark, like almost black, or you have lots of clotting, or maybe you're having just more like brown spotting, those are not considered normal for your whole menstrual flow to be like that. So it's something to kind of look into. And if it's extremely painful as well, like, you know, women with endometriosis can sometimes be bedridden for days because of their pain, and any, you know, any amount of pain that's going to interfere with what you're able to do in your daily life is something that I would consider abnormal as well.
So many women think it's normal to have period pain. I just accept that that's the way it is. It's normal. Everybody else has it, so I have it too.
Yeah, my mom had it, so I have it.
Yeah, my mom had it. That's a good one too. Well, my mom had it, so I.
Yeah.
Like, I, well, you're not your mom.
And so my mom had it way worse than I did, so it's okay.
Yeah, I know, right? It's so painful for us to, and heartbreaking, I should say, because it's sort of like, well, yeah, okay, you've got it, but what's your body telling you? Like you're saying, you know, what is your body saying, and how can we treat it so that you don't have to deal with that every month? And, you know, hopefully get women to a place where that's not such an issue. And when it does show up, it kind of tells you that something's not quite right. You know, I lived all of my teens, well, not all of them, but from when I got my period, maybe 3 or 4 years in, I started having excruciating period pain. You know, once I actually addressed it, now period pain is not a thing unless I've been extremely stressed and I might get some at onset. So, you know, it's very different. And I think we can start to draw on, like you're saying, start to understand your body better.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
No doubt. What about, I mean, we've talked about what a healthy period actually looks like for people. What can we do from your perspective? How do you help women figure out the cause of the heavy bleeding, and then what do you suggest for them? I know that's a loaded question, but there, you know, I'm imagining that there are some specific things that people could take away on from this.
Definitely. So, you know, the first part of determining the cause is going to a practitioner who can provide you with tests and scans and various things to figure out what's going on, because it might be something like endometriosis or cyst, but it also could be something like a tumor, which is much less likely, but you want to make sure that everything's okay in that area. So getting yourself checked out, you know, getting a diagnosis, if that's what's going to come, is going to be really helpful as well. And there's definitely some things that can be done to address heavy bleeding, painful and irregular periods as well, that are kind of foundational and really key. So I'll go over a couple of those things. So first and foremost is addressing diet, super key. So you want to be reducing inflammation, supporting healthy liver detoxification of hormones like estrogen, giving your body the nutrients that she needs to produce hormones. That's really important too. We talked about that kind of deficiency stuff before. And so generally what this is going to look like as a hormone balancing diet is super veggie heavy. So lots of fibrous veggies like leafy greens. I'm also a big fan of using grounding root veggies like sweet potato and winter squash to give these ladies some energy and some zest a little bit. And also liberal healthy fat. So a lot of women are still under this misunderstanding or this myth that fat is a killer and fat is going to make you fat and you need to be low fat or fat free as much as possible. I know that was me before I got into all of this as well, and I had so many health problems. And so using liberal healthy fats are going to be really important, because fats are used in the creation of all of our steroid hormones like estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, and that stress hormone cortisol. So you want to make sure to include things like coconut oil, olive oil, nuts and seeds, avocados, all of that kind of stuff to get your fats in. And it's important not to forget about protein as well. So having good quality protein with every meal and snack is important. It's going to help balance your blood sugar, help to make hormones. And by good quality, I mean choosing like organic or grass-fed animal protein sources as much as possible. And earlier in our conversation, I mentioned quickly about stress. So beyond the diet, managing your stress in a healthy way is going to be key. So obviously we can't, you know, remove ourselves from all of our sources of stress. That's not possible, but it's all in how we react to it. And the more you can kind of regulate your stress response, the less that your body is going to steal hormone building blocks used to make things like progesterone and use it for cortisol instead. So it's really, really important to do that every single day, whether you have like 5 minutes to yourself or 5 hours, you know, find some practices that work for you to manage your stress, like yoga, meditation, time with a positive friend, you know, spending time in nature, journaling, all of those things are going to be really, really important.
I love that. I think it's so important actually to talk about what you were just mentioning about, you know, pregnenolone steal or cortisol, you know, or the body stealing pregnenolone or progesterone to make more cortisol, because I think that we just don't connect the dots when it comes to our fertility and our menstrual cycle and how they actually function in relation to the amount of stress in our lives or how we're handling the stress or working to mitigate it. So I appreciate you mentioning that, because I think that it's really, really important for women to have that understanding and not be completely caught off guard. For instance, when they are experiencing a massive amount of stress and they maybe can't get pregnant or having trouble getting pregnant or staying pregnant even.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And I noticed that first in myself, like as I was trying to fix my own cycles and I had got them to a point where they were much more regular than they used to be, but I was still having issues. And I would find that, you know, the months where I was having higher stress, my periods were more likely to be irregular or the cycle was drawn out.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. It's so interesting too. When I track my cycle, obviously I've been tracking my cycle for so long, but when I am really paying attention to what's been happening over that past month, without a doubt, I either ovulate later or I have way more period issues like cramps and things like that, or PMS issues. I'm convinced that I wish I could test my progesterone like every day.
Oh my goodness, lower. Do not allow her to do that. How many devices do you use already, Nicole, to tempt and take your
I mean, so I'm using three thermometers.
Three. Do you know that one is enough?
I know. But I'm also using four apps. So I need to just I know.
Want to know, do they all tell you something different or do they tell you the same thing?
They actually kind of tell me little differences, minute differences. One of my thermometers definitely runs low, whereas my other one runs a little high. And then the other one is, it's a little all over the place. So I know my thermometers really well now. My temperatures, I don't know.
You're hilarious.
I know, I'm crazy.
Excuse me. Oh my goodness. Can we talk a little bit about spotting? Because I get a lot of questions about spotting and I think it's a little bit concerning for women that experience that. Sometimes it might be mid-month, sometimes it might be in the lead up to the period, sometimes it can be at the end of the period. So can we talk about why might women find themselves spotting?
Mm-hmm. So it could mean definitely a few things. And of course, figuring out when in your cycle you're spotting is important to figure out what's going on. So for example, if you're experiencing that mid-cycle spotting, it might be linked to ovulation. It's not uncommon for women at ovulation to have a little bit of spotting. This isn't really a huge cause for concern, and some people would say that it actually might be a good thing for fertility. And the reason that this happens could be, a dip in estrogen that happens post-ovulation. So it's causing the uterine lining to shed just a little bit. You might notice that you have some blood interspersed with healthy cervical mucus, if that's a fertility sign you're paying attention to, if this is the case for your spotting. Whereas if you're noticing that you're spotting after you ovulate, so in the second half of your cycle during your premenstrual phase, this is likely linked to low progesterone. So, estrogen has built up the lining of your uterus for the first half of your cycle, and then progesterone's job is basically to take over and keep house. So keep this lining in place in case of pregnancy or until your next period.
Keep house. I like that. Yeah. How very feminist. I'm kidding. Anyways, keep going.
So lower progesterone levels may cause the spotting because there isn't enough progesterone to keep that uterine lining intact. Other issues, endometriosis could be involved, and that's kind of an estrogen dominant thing. Bacterial or yeast infections in the vagina also. And then I've heard some reports of women on various forms of hormonal birth control experiencing spotting as well.
Okay. So when it comes to addressing spotting, I mean, I assume your take is that we should be focused on the things that you would do to address heavy bleeding or just address period problems in general.
Right. A lot of these basics are really important. The diet we talked about, to balance your blood sugar and reduce inflammation, reducing or managing your stress as much as possible is really important. And we talked about those, but also a couple other things. Exercise is really important. We didn't really touch on that yet. Mm-hmm. I'm not, if you're experiencing especially heavy bleeding and you're kind of deficient, I don't recommend crazy long, multi-hour runs, things like that, anything too intense, but daily movement is important. I love to recommend strength training, short bouts of high intensity or HIIT training. Yoga is fantastic because you'll also decrease the stress at the same time. Pilates and barre are similar that way, and walking as well. And all of these things help to balance your blood sugar. They improve your mood, and they'll get things moving in a good way. So you're detoxifying as well. And these are all going to play a part in helping with these issues. And of course, we can kind of get more specific. There's loads of supplements and herbs out there that can help with these concerns. I always recommend just consulting someone who's qualified in that area to recommend some. But there's a couple basics that I like pretty much every woman to be on, like a probiotic supplement, a multivitamin, and vitamin D. All of these things can really do wonders, especially if you are having that nutrient deficiency stuff happening and you kind of give your body more of what it needs, you'll likely see a positive difference as well.
Awesome. Do you have recommendations in terms of the vitamin D and the multivitamin? Is there anything that you really love?
Like brands, you mean?
Yeah.
The vitamin D, not so much. I don't find that it matters too much necessarily, as long as you're getting the vitamin D3, so not D2, and preferably either in like drops or in a soft gel, so there's liquid, because vitamin D is fat soluble, and so if it's in an oil, that's really great.
Agreed.
The multi that I'm loving right now, I always like supplements that are made from plants and whole foods versus lab made, vitamins and minerals. And I'm enjoying this brand right now. It's called Whole Earth and Sea. And they have a women's multivitamin. It's non-GMO, organic ingredients, and all the vitamins that they're getting are being extracted from, you know, various fruits and veggies and stuff. So I find that that's usually a little bit better tolerated for people who are really sensitive versus like crazy concentrated lab-made vitamins and minerals.
Right, I see. Okay, I'll check that one out.
Our brands are so different in Australia. For anyone that's listening on this side of the fence, I always say, you know, bioceuticals is one of the best that you can get across the counter. I always advocate for practitioner prescribed products in the clinic, but you get what you pay for. So I always say to people, you know, they get very hung up and very worried about the brand, and I always say, okay, well, go to the health food store or wherever you're going and ask the question, and you can kind of know that the ones that cost more for a reason. It's not because they just want to rip you off. It's because they actually have the science, the technology, the ingredients are better. You kind of get what you pay for. So if you are confused, I would say have that conversation with your health food store attendant. And really, you can't skimp on these things. They do make a difference in the long run, definitely.
Yeah, yes. I totally agree. Absolutely. Yes.
I third that.
Excellent. Robin, we're running out of time, but perhaps you might like to let our listeners know where they can find you.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to connect with any ladies who are listening, and you can do that on my website, which is www.thehormonediva.com.
Fabulous. Are you on social media as well?
Oh, yes. I'm all over. All the links to all those things are right on the homepage of my website. So you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, all that good stuff.
Perfect.
So awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. For everybody else who is a regular, don't forget to go back. If you need more goodness, there are 70-something episodes sitting there for you to listen to and dive in deeper to all sorts of women's health issues. So please go back and check those out. And, of course, please rate us, because that helps us to keep on doing this. So that would be amazing. And please just don't think that everyone else is going to do it so you don't have to. No, I'm talking to you.
Nat. I love how you're lecturing our listeners. You're awesome.
it's a kind gesture. You know, without sounding rude, we give up our time and we're just asking for maybe like 3 minutes of this. But, you know, they're smart people. They'll do it. Anyway, I'm going to let you go, Robin. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm going to say bye, Nicole, and we will speak to you next time.
Thank you.